Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Friday, September 3rd, 2021. I am Dave Biddle flying solo on today's show after about 4.5 hours of sleep, maybe. Hey, I'll take it after a win. Buckeyes beat Minnesota in the season opener last night, 45-31. Certainly was not the first half we were expecting. The Gophers led 14-10 at the break. I was still feeling good. I felt like, you know, there was a chance that Minnesota could hang in there a while. I said that in our staff preview and that Ohio State eventually would pull away. I did think they'd win by more than 14, though. I picked the Buckeyes to win 42-20. So certainly wasn't right on the money with that. But generally speaking, I kind of thought Minnesota would hang in there a little bit and Ohio State would pull away late. But I thought Ohio State would be the one leading at halftime, certainly. So, you know, not a great first game, but I don't want people to think this was a bad win by any means. Minnesota's a good team, and we have to give them some credit. This is going to be the biggest offensive line Ohio State faces all year. You know, they were down a few key players. We'll get into all of that. I think we have to give Minnesota some credit here. Ohio State was favored by 14. They won by 14. It wasn't like they were favored by 28. Minnesota's a good team, and I think they're going to prove that this year. So to me, was it a great win? No, but it wasn't a bad win. There is middle ground there. It's a solid win on the road, survive in advance. It wasn't like they won by a last-second field goal. It was a solid win for Ohio State. C.J. Stroud, up and down for sure, was erratic in the first half. That interception was bad. There's no getting around it. He threw behind him, and it was just on a crosser, and threw behind Chris Olave, and it was Garrett Wilson. I can't even remember now. And it was a bad pass. There's just no getting around it, and it went off his fingertips and went right into the Minnesota guy's hands, and it was just – and I tell you what, I thought CJ sometimes made some very good decisions when he would throw the ball away. I mean, those were some of his best passes, and then got it going in the second half, utilizing his weapons. Some great play calling from Ryan Day in the second half, I thought. And it also helps we can swing the ball out to Travion Henderson and have him take it all the way for 70 yards. That's going to help your stats out. So CJ Stroud finished 13 of 22 for 294 yards, 4 touchdowns, all in the second half, and the 1 interception. So again, I mean, think back to some of the first starts for Ohio State quarterbacks over the years. Justin Fields not included. I mean, sometimes it's going to take you a while to get going. You know, we think back to JT Barrett's, you know, big year in 2014, his best year as a Buckeye. Started off slow. They had that plodding win against Navy in JT Barrett's first start in Baltimore. Then they lost to Virginia Tech, and he kind of took off from there. And I think C.J. Stroud's going to have a better redshirt freshman year than JT Barrett did. And JT Barrett was the Big Ten offensive player of the year that year. So that tells you I'm still very bullish on CJ Stroud, largely because of the weapons he has around him and the type of offense that he's running. It's not like he looked great or anything last night. I just feel like with Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to be more involved. Jeremy Ruckert will be more involved going forward. This excellent offensive line and this group of running backs led by Mayan Williams and Travion Henderson, that's a good situation for a young quarterback to be in. We'll get into a lot more about Mayan Williams and Travion Henderson later in the show. I want to touch on the defense. My friends, it's still a problem. There's no getting around it. There's no sugarcoating it. Again, you have to give Minnesota some credit, but you can't allow Minnesota to have 408 yards of total offense and 31 points. That's too much, especially coming off last year when all season was about got to shore up the defense, got to tighten it up. 408 yards and 31 points to Minnesota is not tightening it up. And who knows how bad it would have been if Ibrahim didn't leave. He's a heck of a back, and it looks like it's a serious injury for him. That's too bad. He's a stud, Muhammad Ibrahim, and he got hurt somewhat late in the game. It wasn't like he got hurt early, so it wouldn't have made a big difference. But, you know, it was a shaky performance from the defense, no question about it. Had all kinds of trouble getting pressure up the middle. That was not a problem last year. I don't know why Haskell Garrett didn't get the start. That was interesting to me, especially with Jerron Cage out. They went with Teron Vincent, who I thought played well, and Antoine Jackson. I don't know why Haskell Garrett wasn't starting. They did rotate a ton. Zach Harrison had a huge play with the sack fumble. And, Sack Harrison getting on the board with a huge play. The ball bounces right in Haskell Garrett's hands, and he takes off the final 30 yards or whatever for the touchdown. Big Haskell Garrett now with two touchdowns in as many seasons. He had the interception return for a touchdown. Really, he was already in the end zone, I think, against Michigan State last year. It was a batted pass, and he caught it for a touchdown. And now he's got the fumble return for a touchdown. He's a versatile player. He can return fumbles for touchdowns. He can get you interceptions for touchdowns at the defensive tackle position. So that was a huge play by Zach Harrison, and then Haskell Garrett running it in for the touchdown. Cam Brown and Seven Banks did not play. And now the thing with Cam Brown, I'm not sure what's going on with Cam Brown. He was on Ohio State released their status report, and he was on it as unavailable. So we knew, you know, a few hours before the game that Cam Brown wasn't going to play. Seven Banks made the trip, was warming up. We've been told by sources it's some type of knee injury. Obviously, it's not super serious, or he wouldn't have been making the trip and warming up. But that's what we're hearing why he missed the game last night. I don't know if Ohio State's going to say anything about that. Probably not. That's why you're listening to the Bucknuts Morning Five. I know Seven Banks missed the game because of a knee issue that, again, is not serious, but was serious enough for him to miss the game. So, man, we're already thinking, what to make of this the secondary, you know, even with Cam Brown and Seven Banks, how are the young guys going to step up behind them? Well, no, the young guys weren't behind them. They were starting this game. How about Denzel Burke and Ryan Watts starting? Denzel Burke, a true freshman. Ryan Watts, a redshirt freshman. And I thought they played well. I mean, of course, there's going to be some bumps when you're in the road when you're a young corner like that making your first start on the road, and they know that they're going to attack you. Once they knew Cam Brown wasn't playing, then they knew pretty early that Seven Banks wasn't out there, and Minnesota was going at him. And I thought Denzel Burke and Ryan Watts held their own, both in coverage, and I like their physicality, helping in the run game and making tackles. Again, they were far from perfect, but these guys are going to get a lot better. And Denzel Burke is a true freshman. That, I mean, he looks like he's going to be a future star, and I think Ryan Watts is going to be a future star. So that's a good thing right there. I thought Cody Simon played well. He didn't start, though. The starting linebackers were Taraja Mitchell and Tommy Eichenberg, and they had Ronnie Hickman at bullet, not Craig Young. So there was a lot of interesting things with the personnel. It's like we knew Ronnie Hickman and Craig Young would both play at the bullet, but I thought Young would start. When we were out at practices, Young usually went first at bullet. Hickman would go second. We knew they would both play a lot. Turns out it was Hickman that played a lot more than Craig Young. So that was interesting. But again, I think Cody Simon needs to play more, and we'll see what they're going to do here. I mean, they were rotating a lot of guys. You know, Bryson Shaw was in there a lot at safety. Legend Cavazos was in there a ton at corner, and hopefully they get both Cam Brown and Seven Banks back, especially Seven Banks. I mean, he was touted as being like a first-round pick by a lot of people coming into the season, which I frankly thought, like, can we hit the brakes a little bit on that? And I think one person even had, might have been McShay, might have had him as like a top 10 pick. It's like, let's hope that's true, but can we pump the brakes a little bit on that? So hopefully Seven Banks gets back. I do think he'll be a solid second round pick, at the very least. So, and maybe he would be a first rounder. More reason why Buckeyes need him back, especially, you know, as young as they are. Hey, even though Denzel Burke and Ryan Watts played well, what if they get banged up? You know, it's just the depth in the secondary is a massive concern, you know, and the linebackers need to play better. And, you know, the defensive line had its moments, but it can play better. If they weren't blitzing, they were not getting pressure on the quarterback. And Ohio State, their calling card on defense is to be able to get pressure with just using their front four. They did that a ton 2 years ago. Helps when you have Chase Young, doesn't it? Maybe the best defensive end to ever come through here, which is saying a hell of a lot. So, yeah, that helped having Chase Young and just a great D-line overall a couple years ago. But that's the standard. That's the standard. Ohio State needs to be able to get pressure when they just rush four. Now, again, let's give Minnesota some credit here. That is a massive offensive line, physical and veteran. A lot of super seniors, meaning sixth-year seniors, fifth-year seniors, regular seniors, fourth-year juniors. That's a big physical offensive line. They have a dude on their offensive line that makes DeJuan Jones look not small, but not huge. It's hard to not make DeJuan Jones look huge. They have that guy that's like about 6'9", 400 on their offensive line for Minnesota. So, listen, give them some credit, but still, Ohio State's defense needs to play not just better, but a lot better. That's what we said all offseason. I figured they would improve defensively. They weren't going to be the sixth worst rushing defense in the country again. How much were they going to improve? And Didn't see a lot of improvement last night, but again, they were undermanned. It was the first game of the season. Next week against Oregon is going to tell us a lot about this team. We'll have two games of data against two good teams, and we'll have a much better feel for how this Ohio State team is going to do this year. I tell you one thing we already have a good feel for is Mayan Williams is a great running back. Great running backs find ways when it looks like it's going to be a 3-yard run to make it a 5-yard run. When it looks like it's going to be a 5-yard run to make it an 8-yard run. You know, things like that. Or he, a guy might break your tackle there about 5 yards down the field or 10. You give him the stiff arm, you take the distance for 71, even if you're not a burner. Mayan Williams is plenty fast. He's not a burner, but I think his speed's a little underrated. I didn't see anybody catching him when he got out there. I'm so impressed with that kid. 9 carries for 125 yards. 9 carries. Hopefully he'll start getting more than 9 carries. Although there's only one ball and these wide receivers need it. Jeremy Ruckert needs it. So other running backs need it. So it's going to be tough for Ryan Day to keep everybody happy. Good problem to have. But 9 carries, 125 yards. If you're scoring at home, that is 13.9 yards per carry. It's like Bo Jackson Tecmo Bowl stuff right there. 13.9 yards per carry. Again, including the 71-yarder to open the scoring. Very impressed with Mayan Williams. Not just that long run. Again, it's he always finds a way to get those extra couple of yards. I love him. I love him. I also love Travion Henderson. I thought he was great. He only had 3 touches. He had the one run early in the game. It was about a 10-yard run, but you could see the burst. It's like, bam! It just there was something different about him when he was out there. It was like, whoa, okay. Let me rewind that, watch that again. Yeah, he's got that burst. Then we really saw the burst on that 70-yard touchdown. Stroud swung it to him, and it was just like off to the races. No one touched him. I mean, it was just like, bam. And, man, that is going to be one heck of a 1-2 punch. You know, it's fun when we make predictions all offseason. They actually come true for a change, huh? We said that Mayan Williams and Travion Henderson would be the top two running backs on this team. Master Teague will still be involved, but those are going to be the top two guys at some point. That's what I said all offseason. Well, some point is right now. It's last night. Those are the top two guys. Mayan got the start. Now, Travion was the third running back in. Marcus Crowley got some run as well. Master Teague was the second guy in, but it's clear as day, it's clear as Ryan Day, dad joke, that Mayan Williams and Travion Henderson, in whatever order, are the two best running backs on this team. And I think that is going to manifest itself throughout the season. But I'm very impressed with both of them. So love what I'm seeing out of the running backs. I mean, Master Teague didn't look great, but we know what Master Teague is. It's good to have him on the team. He doesn't fumble. He's physical. He's a leader. You know, he can get you some tough yards. He actually has very good straightaway speed. This is something I think people forget about Master Teague. He's a legit 4-4 guy, straightaway speed. He just struggles with agility and cutting. But still, if he's your third string running back, especially with all the experience he has, which he basically is the third string running back, that's a luxury. That's a luxury. So, and Marcus Crowley is the fourth string. That's a luxury as well. And this offensive line's a luxury. You lose your starting center in Harry Miller. I think it was probably some type of COVID situation. And I think his mom put something on social media. So I'm not breaking news there. I'm not sure if he had it, if it was a contact. I have no idea. But something to do with COVID, because I don't think he made the trip. You lose your starting center and you put in a redshirt freshman making his first career start, first playing time period, Luke Whippler. And he goes out there and plays a good game. I didn't see any errant snaps, at least nothing that hurt the Buckeyes. He might have, I'm sure he wasn't perfect throughout the game. Isolate on him a few times. Minnesota has some big guys on that D line, some big D tackles. They weren't able to just push him back. He was getting some good push. So for a redshirt freshman to step in there, good on Luke Whippler. And this offensive line is what we thought it was. It's what we thought it was. It's going to be one of the best lines to come through here. Is it going to be the best? I don't think it's going to be the best that we've seen. It's going to be tough to top that 2013 line that had Andrew Norwell and Taylor Decker and Corey Lindsley and Jack Muhort and the double barrel salute Marcus Hall. And once he gets kicked out of the game, you bring in redshirt freshman Pat Elfline. I mean, those are some guys. Some of those guys are still making tons of money in the NFL. Corey Lindsley, Andrew Norwell, and Taylor Decker are all making tons of money. And those other guys, I mean, Pat Elfline was, what, a third-round pick, still kicking around the league. I don't think Marcus Hall made it in the league, but he was a very good starter for the Buckeyes that year. And Jack Muhort is out of football now because of injuries, but he was a second-round pick. So he got that second-round signing bonus. That's nothing to sneeze at. That's over $1 million. So that 2013 line is going to be tough to stop or tough to top. And, I think back to 1994, Orlando Pace this freshman year. Corey Stringer was on that line. I mean, that line overall wasn't like crazy 1-5, but you put those two together on the line, two of the best ever, Orlando Pace and Corey Stringer, that automatically makes it a very good line. 1996 was a heck of an offensive line too, with Orlando Pace in his final year. So those are kind of the gold standards that I can think of off the top of my head. 1984 was really good. Jim Lachey and those guys, Loudermilk. 2013 might take the cake for me, though. Might take the cake with all those guys, especially with how well they're doing in the NFL to top it off. So, I mean, again, I think we've got to give Minnesota some credit. I think we've got to think that Ohio State, this was a solid win. Not a great win. You'd love to see them come out and just send a message to everybody, but it doesn't work like that. I mean, again, if it was Akron, it would have worked that way. Minnesota in their place, they were fired up. This is their Super Bowl. Again, I can't say it enough. They're a good team. They're a well-coached team. Give PJ Fleck some credit. I mean, this guy, I know he's a polarizing figure to a lot of you. He's a good coach. He's a really good coach. You don't go 13-1 at Western Michigan by accident. He was 13-1 his final year at Western Michigan. The one loss was in the Cotton Bowl. He made it to a New Year's Six bowl game to Wisconsin in a close game. They gave Wisconsin all they could handle, lost a really close game. That was their one loss, 13-1 in Western Michigan. 2 years ago at Minnesota, had them in the top 10 at one point. Double-digit wins. Last year, 3-4, weird year. They're going to rebound again this year. So I think Minnesota is going to give Wisconsin and Iowa and whoever else all a serious run for their money for that West title. So, again, next week, the 20-year anniversary of 9/11, Oregon coming to town. That game will kick off at 9 a.m. Pacific for the Ducks. I'm sure they love that. Big noon kickoff here in Columbus. But I can't wait. I can't wait. Even though, like, last night's game is feels like it just ended like 5 minutes ago to me. Still can't wait for next Saturday and the Ducks to come here, because we're going to get a – we're going to – then, again, we're going to know about this Ohio State team. We're going to have a much better gauge of what this Ohio State team is and will be. It's tough to tell after that game last night exactly what we have with all the defensive guys out. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But the defense is the biggest thing that stands out to me from last night is they've got to get a lot better, and it's a concern when they're so young in that back seven. I'm not worried about the D-line. The D-line played good last night. They didn't play great, but they played good. They played good and made, you know, some huge plays, especially that Zach Harrison fumble, of course, being the biggest play. So, you know, we'll see. But the defense is a concern. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they've got to figure something out there. But, you know, they've got some young, hungry players, talented players. They're going to have to continue to step up like Denzel Burke and Ryan Watts and Cody Simon and others. Well, thank you for joining me on this edition of the Bucknuts Morning Five. I really appreciate it. Hope everyone has a great day and a great weekend. Let's check the Buckeye Swag, best damn band in the land.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.